This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
All right, we have the Denver Nuggets' first playoff matchup. They got it in a very strange way. Joker needed to play his 15 minutes to be in the qualifications for MVP, so he played 18 minutes. Nuggets win. They're big dogs. They beat the Spurs last night to clinch the third seed and will now take on the Minnesota Timberwolves. Revenge, perhaps, on the mind of the Denver Nuggets. Congrats to DU. That was awesome. Big guest today, Michael, for the first time ever, CSU head football coach Jim Mora will join the whole show coming up in about 20 minutes. They had their spring spotlight yesterday. They're about to wrap up spring practice. And we'll just get to know Jim Mora here from our perspective. The whole show starts now. The Nuggets were saying we're good. We're good being the fourth seed. We're good letting the Lakers take that from us because the Lakers were going up against the Utah Jazz. So we're good with that. We'll sit in the fourth spot. We'll take on Houston in the first round and prepare for Oklahoma City in the second if they can. Again, this is all assuming they can get past the first round. Look at this lineup. So the Spurs obviously sat Wimby, but they had pretty much everybody else was out there. Fox was out there. Vassell was out there. Castle was out there. This was the lineup the Nuggets put out there. Zeke Nagy in place of Aaron Gordon. Tyus Jones in place of Jamal Murray. Bruce Brown in place of Christian Brown. Julian Strother in place of Cam Johnson. Joker started the game, played the entire first period, and then about 3 or 4 minutes in the second. In 18 minutes, he had 23 points, 8 rebounds, and an assist. And then he didn't play in the second half. The reserves, Jonas Valanciunas got a lot of minutes in that one, 19. Jalen Pickett, Curtis Jones. Curtis Jones looked really good, really confident. Deron Holmes played a few minutes. But yes, the guy that really stood out to me. We're a little biased, and we had a great connection with him during his time with Colorado State, but that was David the Body Roddy. If I would have told you that, you know, 3-4 years ago when Roddy was drafted by the Grizzlies, Roddy was going to end up with the Denver Nuggets, and he was going to play in, well, he played in a handful of games, a few minutes here and there. But he was going to play significant minutes in their final two games against the best two teams in the West, needed to win them both in order to clinch a higher seed. If I were to tell you that he was a big reason they did that, you would have thought I was a genius. He had 21 points against the Thunder on Friday night. The Nuggets win 127-107. Now, the Thunder didn't play anybody. The Nuggets were kind of bowing out in that one as well. And then last night, 15 points, 13 rebounds. The 13 rebounds, really, that's just what stands out. The hustle plays. He had 2 assists to add to it, but congrats to David Roddy. You know, we used to have the David Roddy show here on KFKA for 1 year, I believe, and then he got drafted in the first round. He went to Memphis, and since that time, he's kind of been a journeyman type of player. I don't know. I mean, I know that OKC had the reserves, but San Antonio, other than Wimby, they were playing their guys. And Roddy was a big reason the Nuggets find a way to win. Now, Julian Strother, you remember last year, Strother had one of those games in the playoffs where you're going, oh, that's the guy. That's the Gonzaga dude. That's the player that's supposed to be this really, really good prospect. And really during his time, we've just seen glimpses of it. Last night, he looked the part, man. I'm seeing all the tweets coming out during the games about Strother that this guy is a star in the making and he should be starting somewhere. Maybe so. Those kind of games certainly give you hope if you're a Strother fan. I don't really know how much he'll play in the playoffs, what that will look like, but he certainly didn't hurt his case last night. Denver wins 128-118. What does that tell you about their thought process? Because, okay, Saturday morning, I want to say Saturday morning, maybe even Friday, the Nuggets were listed as 2.5-point favorites. I think there was a belief that San Antonio was going to rest their guys and the Nuggets would be going full bore to try to win. Then we start seeing the injury news trickle out throughout the weekend that Murray's going to be out, Brown's going to be out, Gordon's going to be out. Of course, Watson's out. Cam Johnson's going to be out. Tim Hardaway Jr.'s going to be out. Okay, so then the line shifted from the Nuggets being a 2.5-point favorite to a 9.5-point dog. So it was right there. I mean, the Spurs wanted to win that game. They could have played Wimby. I think if that was a playoff game, there's no chance that Wimby's not playing that game. But they wanted to win. They didn't want to win at any kind of crazy risk of their superstar. But still, for the most part, certainly wanted to play that like that was a chance to ensure that they wouldn't have to see the Nuggets and the Thunder potentially in back-to-back playoff series. So I think my thoughts are that David Adelman and company, probably if you put them up to a lie detector, would probably tell you that we were good losing that game. We probably wanted to lose that game because we'd rather play Houston in the first round and then see OKC in the second, because that's how they played it. I can't believe anything else other than that. I mean, David Roddy, this is not a knock on David Roddy, but he got 33 minutes in that game. David Roddy, a journeyman player at this stage in his career, played more minutes than anybody else save for Julian Strother. And then you're going to, all your starters are out. Joker's not going to play in the second half. In a game, by halftime, the Nuggets were well ahead, but the Spurs made a surge. And, you know, they kept cutting this thing. They got it within 5, 6, 7, whatever. And it was David Roddy that just kept going away, just kept pulling away for this team. So, yes, the Nuggets absolutely viewed this, in my mind, I don't think I could be convinced otherwise, they were ready to bow out and lose this game last night. I think it was probably a weird decision, more or less. We would rather play Houston than Minnesota, but it doesn't matter that much. And since we would kind of rather play Houston, we'll just rest guys. And we can easily explain that away because Aaron Gordon has been dealing with hamstring issues all year. Christian Brown has been, he's dealt with several issues, even aside from his big one. He dealt with issues. And Jamal has had a history of late season injuries. So you can explain it away and say, we're just not going to risk it in a game that we really don't care if we win or lose. We probably would rather lose. But it's like at 51-49%, I would imagine. And so they took the 49% of them wanting to win this game and said, let's just rest everybody since we're leaning one way or the other. And then they turn around and win the game. I'm flabbergasted that they actually won the game, being a 9.5-point dog in a game the Spurs definitely wanted to win. I mean, you kept seeing De'Aaron Fox. You're not going to get this a lot. He missed so many open threes down the stretch. He went 4-14 from the three-point line. They were desperately trying to just shoot themselves into the game and then walk away with an unlikely win down the stretch by just shooting threes. That's what they were bound and determined to do. Fortunately, they kept missing them. There were a lot of gifts in that game. But for the most part, what I take away from a game like that, it was young guys with a lot to prove, trying to prove that they belong in this league, getting regular minutes. A guy like David Roddy, a guy like Curtis Jones, even still Jalen Pickett, and maybe Julian Strother trying to prove that he should be a regular rotation kind of guy, if not more so than that. So now Denver will set their sights on Minnesota. Home court advantage, of course, in this series. First game, and we're getting all the details ironed out, but the first game is at 1:30 on Saturday, game one. And yeah, when we talk about Minnesota, we all talk about that last series. The series where Denver lost in seven. They were down 3-2 in the series. They won game six. Excuse me, that's not how it went. They were down 2-0, 2-0. I'm trying to remember this correctly. Minnesota was up 2-0 on Denver. Denver went to win the next three games, and suddenly the series had shifted. Minnesota won game six by a wide margin, 115-70. That was in Denver. Take the series back, or no, that was in Minnesota. Take the series back to Denver for game seven. The Nuggets were up 20 in the fourth quarter, and we all know the story. They looked like they ran out of gas. They limped to the finish line, and they didn't get to the finish line. And Minnesota won 98-90 and ended the Nuggets' hopes of repeating as champs. And then Minnesota went on to play a Luka Doncic-led Dallas Mavericks team and lost in five. There was a wide belief that if Denver could have survived that fourth quarter, they go on and they beat Dallas, and we have a hell of an NBA Finals. But we've moved on. We've moved on with our life. The Nuggets then made it to the playoffs last year, beat the Clippers in the first round, lost to the Thunder, of course, in seven. Is this a different team? Yeah, obviously, it's a much different team. The bench you feel much better about, and also a brand new head coach in David Adelman, who won 54 games in his first year as the Nuggets head coach. It's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. I told you, enjoy last week, because starting on Saturday, the stress begins as the Nuggets will start their playoff quest this weekend. The Avs shortly after. They still have a few games left. Tough story with Jared Bednar, too, and I'll get into that one. Taking a puck to the face, and he's not traveling with the team currently. How does that end? Now, they have literally nothing to play for in their remaining three games of the season, so he won't be with the team for a bit. But we'll get into some more details on that. Also, Mike, we don't have a lot of time, but I want to shout out congrats to DU Hockey. They win it all. Just what they have got. I mean, that program, that hockey program is just absolutely amazing. And to get another title, add another trophy to the trophy case, that's all DU did over the weekend. 18 minutes after the hour, Jim Mora going to join the program at 11:30. Do not miss it. Rams fans, football fans, this is my first time to catch up with Jim Mora. I'm very excited about this. Got to pinch myself a little bit. Very pumped about the show today. Also, the voice of the Buffs, Mark Johnson, going to join us in the second hour of the show. How did the Buffs spring game look over the weekend? All that and more coming up here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe and Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The boys aren't shaving until the Rockies win 30. Hear Rockies games and talk on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Miles McClarty, safety for the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Now, the Avalanche don't have anything to play for. We talked about it, but It was a scary weekend for the man in charge when it comes to the roster for the Avalanche. Jared Bednar will not be traveling with the team this week due to injuries he sustained after being hit with a puck during a game over the weekend. He's going to stay at home as the team travels for two of its last regular season games in Canada. According to a statement from the team, Bednar was diagnosed with facial fractures and a corneal abrasion, but is expected to make a full recovery without surgery. Mike, that's a scary situation, man. And, you know, to be honest, I've always wondered how that doesn't happen more. Because they're not protected there. And those pucks, those things are flying everywhere. And unfortunately, it just found the Avalanche's head coach. And that's a scary situation, man. That could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I mean, I remember hearing about fans getting hit in the crowds. That's why they have that netting, because the fan died. But you're right. How do people not get hit more with pucks?
I don't know. I always wondered it with baseball, too, until they started putting some protective stuff up. But even with the areas that aren't protected, it's crazy to me. And Jared being so close to the action there, that did not feel good. But the Avs posted this: Avalanche head coach Jared Bednar will not accompany the team on their upcoming two-game road trip due to facial fractures. He will not require surgery at this time and is expected to make a full recovery. Like Chris says, why didn't they call out Bednar's injury as upper body? Yeah, that's just for the players. For the coaches, I guess it's okay.
Yeah, so he's a hockey coach and a former hockey player, so he'll be back.
It's a walk in the park quickly for these dudes. Avalanche assistant coaches Nolan Pratt will take over. Nolan Pratt and Dave Haxtell will coach the team in Edmonton and Calgary for at least these next two. They have three games remaining. And again, nothing really to play for other than just try not to let rust settle in, I guess, Mike. They got the President's Trophy a year ago, it feels like. That's how good this team was. There's still three games remaining, and they got this done. 24 minutes after the hour. All right, coming up next, very excited about this next guest. The Colorado State Rams just finished up their spring spotlight, basically their spring game. Over the weekend, they have a few spring practices left before they break. It's a new feel around Colorado State, no question about it. I said this earlier. For me, going into the Pac-12, the Rams were the least interesting team going into this new Pac-12 until the hiring of Jim Mora, and now suddenly I think they're the most interesting team headed in. So Jim Mora will join us next. Keep it here on The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
There's only one feeling like knowing your banker personally, like growing up with a bank you can count on, like being sure what you've earned is safe, secure, and local. There's only one feeling, like knowing you're supporting your community. You deserve more from a bank. You deserve an institution that stood strong for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, Ram fans, this is Ali Farokmanesh, your head men's basketball coach at Colorado State University. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFK.
Welcome back into The Whole Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. We are live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Very excited about this next guest on our First Advantage Hotline. Head coach for the Colorado State Rams, Jim Mora. They just finished up their spring spotlight over the weekend, have a couple of practices to go before they conclude spring football. Coach, it's an honor to have you on the program. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. Thank you so much for being on with us today.
Well, it is my pleasure, my honor, and I'm excited to be on with you.
Hey, Coach, I have to apologize for something, okay?
Well, what's that?
At your introductory press conference, I of course, I'm the guy that knows your old pal Hugh Millen, and I brought up mountain hiking, and you are a mountain climber, and that has been eating at me for months now, and I finally get to clear the air here. Forgive me, I misspoke. I should have brought up mountain climbing instead of mountain hiking.
No, I mean, I'm a hiker. I've climbed some mountains, but I love to hike. I love the outdoors. I mean, how fortunate am I to be here in Fort Collins? You can get to all the great, great peaks in Colorado very easily. And look at them. I mean, I wake up every morning, I look at Long's Peak. I mean, it's like epic for me. So Don't worry about
it. I had to bring it up. I had to clear the air because I know you're active, and I know this part of the area, you're just you're pumped about being here in Northern Colorado, Coach. But, man, I know you're pumped to get this football team ready to rock and roll as Colorado State entering the Pac-12 next season. There's so much excitement around this program. And, boy, when it was announced that you would be taking over as the head coach, I know the excitement just soared.
Well, I appreciate that. I can tell you this. My wife and I absolutely love Fort Collins. The people here are so great. And this university is really special. And, you know, the alignment between Amy Parsons, our president, and John Webb, our athletic director, and Scott Sidwell, our deputy athletic director, who's just so integral in the football operations, is really rare in college football. And the goal and the vision, and not only that, but the plan of action to get where we want to go is just really solid. And everyone's committed to it. And I just consider myself lucky to be here.
Jim Mora joining us, Colorado State Rams head coach. Coach, talk to me a little bit about the spring spotlight yesterday. I'm always curious to see how coaches view spring ball. It can be kind of a mix, but for you, I mean, 9,000 new faces, it seems like. What, 67 new players that you're, you know, throughout these last few weeks just getting to know more and more. That right there is the process.
Yeah, there's a lot of new players. You know, and for me, it was getting to know the players that were here. Certainly, I knew the kids from UConn and then all the transfers we brought in, and we still got more to add. And then there's some high school kids that, you know, I still haven't met. We brought in 16 early enrollees, but there's some that I haven't met yet. So the process is ongoing. But one thing that's been consistent is their willingness to just really embrace what we're trying to become and the things that we're asking them to do. And we tell them why we're asking them to do them. And when we do, they just go 100% at it. And so that's, it's a real challenge, but it's one I embrace. It's one I love. I'm lucky to be here, and I don't forget that. And, you know, there's a responsibility to the people that hired me. There's a responsibility to the people that support Colorado State football and Colorado Sport Athletics, and really Colorado State as a university in general, because this is an important part of it, our football program, and helping us sustain the success as a university that we want to have. Football plays a part in that. So we take that very, very seriously, and we work towards that responsibility and fulfilling it every day.
Coach, I keep seeing mentions of this, just random Rams reporters, people that I follow, in kind of connection with all these new players. Talk to me and our listeners about Aggie Talks. What exactly is that?
Well, it's a series of discussions we have in a team environment, in a individual environment where we break things down. It, you know, every week's a little bit different. It's really just team bonding. Mm. It's getting to know each other. It's connecting on a different level than just being out in the huddle or standing next to one another, you know, before a play. Or it's just a way for us to connect and get to know each other and understand each other better, because I think the more you understand about the guy that you're next to in the locker room or on the weight room or out on the field during game day, the harder you'll play for each other. You know, connection is critical.
Joining us now, Coach, Colorado State Rams head football coach Jim Mora. Coach, obviously we talk about positions, but first things first, everybody wants to discuss the quarterback position. And, you know, what I've seen, at least on paper with a lot of these guys, some with the tape, a lot of guys can move. There's a lot of speed when it comes to that quarterback position. It sounds like there is a pretty tight competition going on right now at that position.
You want competition across the board. You know, you really do. And, you know, that's going to help everybody get better. It's just that constant feeling that I have to compete my very best every single day to stay ahead of the guy that's behind me and catch the guy that's in front of me, you know, and be my very best. And so whether it's quarterback or any other position, it's all about competition, healthy competition. Understand that we're competing against each other, but we're also competing for each other. And, you know, that room in particular has become very competitive. You know, there's two guys, really there's three guys that have taken college snaps in Haas Haney and Kayson Farrar and Darius Curry. Darius was a little bit slowed down early in camp coming off of the turf toe surgery that he had to have that he suffered late in the year last year. But he's coming on strong. And so between those three guys, it's very competitive. And then we've got two young guys that are doing a really nice job. And so you want that competition. And you know, you've heard it stated before, if you have two quarterbacks, you don't have any. I don't think that's the case here. I think we've got some guys that can do some really good things out on the football field with the ball in their hands.
Did you see anything, not just even the game, you know, Saturday spring spotlight, but throughout the course of practices, is it still just kind of neck and neck? You mentioned Kaysan Farrar, Haas Haney, also Darius Curry. Did you see much? Is there separation there, or are we ready to go into fall camp and it's going to be tighter than ever?
Tighter than ever, you know, and really, the showcase we had the other day was it was a kind of a mock game for us. We did our pregame work, the routine that we will use before every game. We had a game-like atmosphere. We didn't necessarily get as many reps that we would get in a normal practice. That wasn't what we were after. So it wasn't necessarily as competitive as every other practice we have is. But I expect that. That it'll be neck and neck until we are forced or we are able to make a decision. And I know this, whichever way we go, and it's a long ways off. Like I said, I don't have to name a starter until the very first play of the season, quite frankly, you know, when someone runs out there. And that's not going to be the case. I mean, that would be silly for us to do. But, you know, we have confidence in all of them. And so whoever the starter is, if they, you know, if they have to take a play to recover from a hit or something, or and they miss a game, or, you know, maybe they're struggling, we've got guys that can take the reins and lead us to victory. Now, I'm not a coach that likes to switch quarterbacks a lot. I don't believe in that. I believe you stick with a guy until it's time not to, and you give them 100% of the support that you got until it's time not to. So you won't see a bunch of quarterbacks in and out of games on and off the field. You'll see us stick with the guy as long as we can once we make that decision.
I'd say, count me in on that. I absolutely love it. When you make that decision with that quarterback, you know, go with them until you ultimately feel like you can't go anymore. Coach, another position group I want to ask you about is I keep hearing so much about the tight end group, and not just the amount of tight ends that you brought in, but the size of tight ends that you brought in.
You know, really, if you look at the group, it's very eclectic in terms of their abilities to do different things and their size and their speed, their length. But they're all playmakers in their own right. You know, so we've got a guy from Natter Teacher from, you know, he's 6'8", 270, down to Juice Vereen, who's, you know, 6'4", 220, and everything in between. And, you know, we just think that having the flexibility and the versatility of the tight end position gives us an advantage because they're tough matchups. You know, you have to decide offensively how you're going to treat each guy. Is he more receiver threat than blocking threat? Is he more blocker than receiver? Or is he a guy that can do both equally well? And so having guys that fit different molds, we believe, is really an advantage to us. I've always felt that. You know, my background was defense, and when I was a defensive coordinator in the NFL, you know, the tight ends were the guys that gave you the most problems. You could figure out ways to double receivers. Doesn't always mean it was successful, but you could figure out ways. Tight ends, when they're kind of that, where's Waldo? Where are you going to put them in the backfield? Are you going to split them out at number one? Are they going to be in the slot? You know, are they going to motion? Those are the ways that you can create real problems for a defense. So we like having that versatility at tight end.
Is that a position in your mind where you really look? I mean, because again, it just when you see all these names on paper, you talk about Juice and his size and guys being so versatile. Is there a kind of a core position on the offensive side where you say I want to start here? I mean, obviously, when we're talking football, we're talking quarterbacks. I get that, but is that one of those key positions? Because you talk about coaches' philosophies and where they want to build around. Is that tight end position in your mind just crucial for the things that you want to do?
It is in terms of being versatile and having playmakers, but you always start up front. You know, it doesn't matter how good your skill position players are if you can't block. It doesn't matter how great your quarterback is if you can't protect. And so you always start with the offensive line. But, you know, I think sometimes we categorize players by position. I got a group that I keep on my board, and it's called playmaker. You know, and we obviously are going to go into every game thinking, how do we get our playmakers the ball? Whether they're listed as a running back, a tight end, or a wide receiver, you know, who are our playmakers? And how do we scheme to get them the ball in space so they can make things happen, or how do we scheme to get them in a matchup that's favorable to us in terms of size or speed mismatches. So, yeah, tight end's important, but so is wide receiver, running back, quarterback, but it always starts up front.
Coach, can you tell us, you talk about this board of playmakers, can you give us a few of those names that really are kind of dominating that board at this point?
Well, they're all doing a pretty good job, you know, but the guys that kind of stand out to me, you know, LeVon has done a great job. I think Terrence has done a great job, came from UConn. I think Mel Brown, Malachi Greaves has done a nice job. I don't want to miss anybody because there's a bunch of them, you know, and we're still identifying them. So, God, I don't even want to stop there. I could go on forever. I should have just answered with that. I should have never given you a name.
We can edit that out, Coach. Don't worry. We can edit it out.
I don't want to cut anyone out because I feel like guys emerge every day. You know,
Yeah. You
see something out of a guy. They're all in a different state of their development. And I think I'll have a much better answer for you about 3 weeks into training camp. I think a lot of development happens during spring that you don't recognize until you come back in the fall. You know, they have a chance to digest and absorb all the lessons that they learned and the practices they went through, and then they come back in the fall, and they're better, you know. And we'll have a bunch of guys emerge in the fall that right now aren't doing a lot, but under the surface they're making great gains.
Coach Jim Mora joining us, head coach for Colorado State. Coach, on the spring football conversation, we've seen a lot of opinions and ideas of maybe moving spring closer to, you know, butting up against fall camp and that kind of thing. What are your thoughts on maybe the future of just how spring football might look?
You know what? I have no idea. So I really don't think about it because it's out of my hands. I mean, I'm allowed at times to give my opinion to the NCAA or to the Pac-12. I'm not sure how much coaches' opinions are valued or considered. I'm really not. I'm not saying they're not. I just don't know how much they are. Right now, my sole focus has to be this moment in time and helping this football team become the best we can be this year. So whatever those in power decide to do with spring and the future of the portal and NIL and revenue share and all those things, you know, my attitude is I'm going to adjust to it the best that I can. If I can have influence and have input, I will. If not, then I'll adjust and make sure that we position CSU football to be as successful as possible.
How much is, you know, obviously you spent so much time in the NFL and then the transitions up back and forth, you know, on the college side too. How much of that has kind of helped you with all these changes? Because I imagine making those jumps from college to NFL to college, you're used to pretty much anything. So when you keep seeing all these new things, it seems like every week or every other day there's something new going on, especially on the college football side of things. How much has that helped you be able to adjust to the changes?
It's helped a lot. It's made me feel very comfortable in this environment. I know there are certain coaches out there that kind of reject it or struggle with it, express that they don't like it. I feel comfortable in it. You know, this is what in the NFL, you know, the draft process is very much like the college high school or the high school recruiting process. Free agency is very much like the portal. I mean, there are differences. You know, the salary cap is very much like revenue share. You get used to in the NFL having turnover on your team. Maybe not the amount that you have in college, but you still have it. You know, you have to adjust to certain rule changes that the owners and the management council makes each year that you may or may not have input in. If you don't embrace those things, if you fight them, if you let them get in the way of the progress you're trying to make, then you're just doing a disservice to the players that you serve and the university that you work for. And I'm not going to let that happen. I'm just going to go 100 miles an hour every day, do the best we can with the rules that are in place right now. And I answer your question. I love it. I feel comfortable in it. I love the challenge of it. I love the excitement of it. Maybe I don't love the indecision of it, but I can deal with it.
Yeah, that's the tough part. I don't know how you guys do it with the indecision, you know, just not knowing necessarily what's going to change, what's going to be something that's going to, you know, hit you guys, hit your desk on a random day. You just never know. But again, so much respect for you coaches that are able to do it. Last one for you, Coach. You mentioned some of the people, you know, Scott Sidwell, John Weber, Amy Parsons, some of the people as far as your excitement level to be here at Colorado State. But Coach, what was it ultimately, you know, that really drew you here to Colorado State? I know you had mentioned some of the Pac-12 stuff and, you know, the stadium and the area too, but was there something in particular that was like, as soon as, you know, you get wind of this being an opening, it just hits your brain?
Well, there was many, many things at many different times and many different levels, but the first one was Fort Collins, Colorado. You know, I'm a West Coast guy. I lived in Colorado when I was younger. I've always loved this part of the country. A chance to be back here was really thrilling to me. And then you combine that with what Scott and Amy and John and Chris Ferris and Christina Diaz, you know, sold to me when they came to visit me in Connecticut. The fact that I'm back in the Pac-12, you know, my dad coached in it when it was the Pac-8. I played in it. It was the Pac-10, coached in it. It was a Pac-12, and now it's back as a Pac-12. That was thrilling to me. The chance to be on a campus that has a stadium on site that is beautiful and really the model for a lot of the newer stadiums that are being built around the country, a path to the college football playoff, and then really more than anything is just working with really good people, which, you know, I'm lucky to do every day with Scott and John and President Parsons and everyone around here. It's a different and unique environment. It's a very fulfilling job. And, you know, we got some good people. We got some good players that are good people. We've got some great administrators that are good people. And you win with your people. You know, that's how you win. You win with your people, and I'm lucky to be around great people.
Coach, we're looking forward to seeing what you guys can do. I know you'll wrap up spring practices this week, and then we can start the countdown. We can get ready for that first game of the season. I think that's a pretty big one. Pumped about it, Coach. Looking forward to seeing what you can do with this program.
Well, I appreciate that. It was great talking to you.
Hey, let's do it again sometime. Would love to catch up with you down the road.
Anytime.
All right, my friend. Thank you. CSU head football coach Jim Mora. And Mike, we're not that far away from the start. I mean, it goes fast, doesn't it? You know, right now it's April 13th. We're talking about spring football, and it's going to move, and we're going to be ready to watch September 4th, Colorado State, or September 5th, excuse me, CSU in Wyoming. Mike, who you got in that game? You got any early predictions for me? Way too early predictions.
CSU.
I would think that's going to be. I don't know. I don't know what to expect from this CSU team. I know I love everything that we've learned about over the last several months about what this idea is going to be surrounding this football team with a mobile quarterback. The tight ends are freaking ginormous. Great write up in the Coloradoan this morning from Kevin Lytle just about some of the key positions that caught his eyes, some of the guys Coach Mora was talking about. But I love it too. I'm like asking him, "Hey, you got a playmaker board? Give me the names on that playmaker board." And he's like, "Dude, I don't want to give you four or five names because I got a ton of them, and I don't want to leave anybody out."
I'm going to make a prediction here. CSU is going to climb the mountain of the Pac-12.
It's climbing
and now.
Yeah, well, and it's hiking, it's climbing. He's kind of done it all. But I think when I opened, I was like, wait, I think I said hiking, and this guy's like he can do it all, man.
Is he scaling mountains or is he hiking?
I think he's probably doing a little bit of everything. I think he's mainly hiking, but I'm sure he's scaling at some point too.
I'm choppering because I don't want to walk up a mountain.
Yeah, I think he could do a little bit of everything, man. 49 minutes after the hour. Let's take a short break. We'll wrap up hour number one. We got top stories of the day coming up. Also, Mark Johnson will switch gears. We'll talk about the Colorado Buffaloes and what Mark thinks of the Buffs on their spring side of things, too. It's the whole show powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKN.
All year. year, you heard the Broncos, the Nuggets, the Avalanche, the Rockies, the NCAA, and the NFL, and KFKA. And we aren't changing anytime soon. We have the sports broadcast you need on Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Foundation Sports Nutrition is right here in Greeley, Colorado, and their mission is to make nutrition simple. Listen, you don't have to be Jim Mora, who's wanting to climb mountains or hike mountains or bike mountains. You might want to get into that. You might just want to feel better. You might want to start so when you race somebody in a parking lot, your leg's not hurting for 4 weeks. You want to get healthier, get happier. And not only can you get the proper nutrition consultations from Foundation Sports Nutrition, but they're going to be giving you different challenge programs, product samplings. You don't have to be in the business of, I want to look like Arnold. You could very much be a regular Joe or Judy. Joe or Judy, is that how we do it? And just want to get a little bit better, feel a little bit better. And that starts with the, you know, different types of nutrition, different types of supplements you can do. Or maybe you're into the weights. Maybe you are running marathons and you need to fuel up the right way. That's where our friends over at Foundation Sports Nutrition comes in. Some of you are parents that have kids that are getting ready to play and are wanting to beef up or wanting to lean up, whatever it is. And there's something out there that Kyle can help you with and make sure everybody's, you know, on the right path, the path forward health-wise. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Travis, the new guy, texting in, hey, I've been meaning to tell you, Brady, thanks so much. I won a $25 gift certificate on your station and went to Big City Roadhouse last night with my wife, and it was great food. Thank you to Travis, the new guy, for checking him out. I hope you told him we sent you right here from the whole show on KFKA, man. That would go a long way. Appreciate it. That's the thing, man. We talk about our businesses here, our sponsors here that are on our shows. If you like the programs, if you like that we're able to get Coach Jim Mora on, or the great guests that Bruce Dick's getting on, Brian and Tanner all day, every day, man. They have so many great community leaders. If you like what you're hearing, support the businesses that support these radio shows every single day, just like Travis did. We appreciate you guys. All right, top stories of the day coming up next, Michael. Am I a genius? I think so. We'll tell you why coming up next.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.